Well, on this episode of MSU Today, we're going to discuss progress on the implementation of the sustainable health theme of the MSU 2030 Strategic Plan. We're going to do that with the executive sponsor of the theme. Dr. Norman J. Beauchamp Jr. is back. He's MSU's Vice President, Executive Vice President for Health Sciences. Sorry, Norm. Always great to have you on the program. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you, Russ. Thank you for all your work in helping to make visible the important work Michigan State does.
It's our pleasure. And joining the conversation and leading it will be Bill Beekman. He's our Vice President for Strategic Initiatives. And one of his main responsibilities is to oversee the plan being implemented and not just sit on a shelf somewhere. Bill, great to have you back. And take it away with Norm.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Russ. And it's just a joy to have Norm in the studio with us today. And Russ, as you said, Norm is our Executive Vice President for Health Sciences. And so let's start a little bit there. Tell our listeners, what is an Executive Vice President for Health Sciences? I think probably people within the university have a good sense of that, or maybe not. But you've got a very critical role here at Michigan State. And so share with us what that encompasses.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Bill. And I'll just note, thank you for all your work leading the strategic plan for Michigan State. It has been really important and really effective. So yeah, my role here, I'm a proud double Spartan, undergrad medical school, and I wanted to come back to give back to this amazing university and state. And one of the opportunities was to come back and serve in the role of Dean of the College of Human Medicine. But then as we looked at how we could really coordinate our efforts and bring research and education and clinical care into really synergy, my role was expanded and this Executive Vice President for Health Sciences was created. In that role, to your question, I oversee with the dean of each of the three colleges, the College of Nursing, the College of Osteopathic Medicine, and the College of Human Medicine. I also chair the board of our clinical practice, MSU Healthcare, and then I lead a number of the partnerships with health systems. So I chair the Henry Ford Health plus MSU 30-year agreement.
That's, and I think people that may not be familiar with healthcare around the country may not appreciate MSU's unique nature insofar as we have, you know, an MD degree granting medical school, a DO degree granting medical school, a college of nursing, and then this medical practice with literally hundreds of providers that really is the largest medical practice in the city of Lansing or in the mid-Michigan area. And so it's very impactful, obviously, on the region, but it's also impactful across the state. And many, many years ago when I was in the College of Human Medicine, it was always amazing to me that the breadth of our reach. And that's true as well for the College of Osteopathic Medicine and the College of Nursing. We literally have physicians in every county in the state, and we have medical students, actually, in many counties across the state. So can you share with us a little bit about the breadth of the programs and how we really are serving the people of the state of Michigan, not just our friends here in Greater Lansing.
The goal, and Russ and I have talked about this before, is to bring health, hope, and healing to all parts of Michigan. And the idea that your zip code or the color of your skin determines, you know, how long you live or the quality of your health. And what's really fantastic about Michigan State and its land-grant mission is that it's going directly at those challenges. And we are, as you would suggest, you know, we're a community-based medical school, which means we're community-based medical schools and nursing schools, so we're in virtually every county. I'll give you some examples of how that manifests. Last year, we graduated 500 doctors, 500, wow. So 200 from the MD program, 300 from the osteopathic medical school. Just as general averages, the second largest medical school in the state, 300. Third, 200. But of our graduates, 286 doctors stayed in the state of Michigan. And that's a remarkable number. That's probably five times greater than any other medical school. And when you look at the need for more physicians, this is really impactful. And our strategy with this is by being in so many counties, whether it's, you know, multiple places in Detroit, Grand Rapids, Flint, Lansing, Traverse City, Alpena, Marquette, Escanaba, is that for our students, third and fourth years, they're in these settings, many of them underserved settings, and our students, then doctors or nurses, fall in love with the communities. And that's how we then go directly at caring for the underserved. Another example of this is that we saw during COVID, we didn't have enough primary care providers. And as you mentioned, MSU is the largest primary care provider in mid-Michigan. But we also, because of our nursing school, could bring up a nurse practitioner-led clinic, which allowed us, again, to bring yet another way to meet the primary care needs. And we then combine that in the College of Osteopathic Medicine with a physician assistant program. So we just, in all we do, whether it's research, education, or our clinical care, we go directly at meeting the health needs of the people of the entire state. And I think it was that depth and that breadth that attracted a partner like Henry Ford Health to us, and why we've had such strong relationships from Munson in Traverse City to McLaren, in these partnerships that we have.
Well, Norm, you completely anticipated where I wanted to head next, and that is our partnership with Henry Ford. We've got a lot of activity we've had for many years in Grand Rapids. We've got public health activity in Flint, and perhaps we'll have an opportunity to talk about that in a few minutes. But moving to Henry Ford, which is just I think a spectacular opportunity. And one thing many people may not appreciate is that hospital partners, typically are very busy taking patients. Many of our hospital partners struggle with funding. Medicare and Medicaid, their primary payers, often barely pay the bills, and so research becomes a much lower priority in most hospitals. And Henry Ford is different. They're very, very unique. Unique not only in Michigan, but really nationally and worldwide. And they make this beautiful partner because they do have a research focus and a research energy that mirrors what a major university would have. And so hopefully I haven't stolen too much of your thunder, but share with us what the opportunities that this special relationship with Henry Ford present.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. And just an observation or two first. One can tell of your history in the College of Human Medicine because of your depth of understanding of health and why it matters and discovery. So we're fortunate to have you leading the strategic plan efforts here for Michigan State University. But to your point, maybe I'll after I was a proud graduate of Michigan State University, I was at Johns Hopkins, and my research focused on how do we help more people who have strokes. And when I was doing that work, there were three other institutions that were also really driving this that were incredibly impressive. One was Mass General at Harvard, one was Stanford, and one was Henry Ford Health System. And when I came back here and I was looking for a partner to help us go directly at health disparities, the characteristics were, was there a large health system with a commitment to education, but then a history of research, of doing discovery? And what I found in Henry Ford Health System was actually an institution that had about the same amount of National Institute of Health funding as Michigan State University, which was remarkable. And the more we spent time together learning about each other, we just saw this shared core value of how can you every day figure out what your patients need and then go back to education or research to find it. but then have the scope and scale to bring it to patients. And so another benefit when there is this shared culture of discovery and academic medicine was we could then bring together the strengths of Michigan State with Henry Ford in this just marvelous synergy. And we can talk more about that if you'd like.
Well, we've got one aspect of that Henry Ford relationship is a new building that was approved by our Board of Trustees at their last meeting that stands to be the largest research building on our campus. And I say our campus, although it's going to be in Detroit, because I think we really need to think of our campus as across the state. And so what will happen in this big research building in downtown Detroit?
Marvelous. And you touch on, transitioning to the answer to the question that, we are Michigan's state university. And so we are in these communities. And we were so blessed when Grand Rapids invested in building a medical school on their campus, and then we're able to build research and then an innovation park. And one of the things that was very compelling to Henry Ford Health was, could we do this with them in Detroit? And it touches on what is the social determinants of health, which is, can you bring together a university with a health system in ways that elevate opportunities and access for the community? And so key to that is building a place that does research on scale that connects to the health system and works with the community. And it was with so much focused work by so many people that we were able to recently get approval to build the largest human health research building in the history of Michigan State University. What's fantastic about it, Bill, is that it will house 80 research teams. And so if you think about what's the size of a research team, it's 6, maybe 7 people. So it's 500 people going directly at improving human health. And then you connect it to between Michigan State and Henry Ford, we'll have 500 sites of practice. So it gives such an opportunity to every single day bring better care and repeat. Really excited about that. Another key part of this is that we've thought about, how do you do this in a way that doesn't draw down on Michigan State's resources, if you will. So we constructed this in a way that the whole program is self-sustaining. And by virtue of partners like the Gilbert family, who have made a commitment that we can be the place that works with them to solve neurofibromatosis, with an entire floor dedicated to the Nick Gilbert Neurofibromatosis Research Institute. And then working with the city of Detroit, who've committed over $280 million in tax abatements and incentives to make this possible. So the research that will go there will include a really direct focus on cancer, neurosciences, and then we'll work together to address women's health. We're first in the nation now in women's health, Michigan State and Henry Ford, and then ultimately, again, connect it to public health and population health. A bit of a long answer, and Russ may have to do his magic to get to that, but that's what will be housed there, and it connects very directly to MSU's research goal of getting to $1 billion in research by 2030.
Part of our strategic plan. And thank you for mentioning women's health, because that's, I think, one of those areas at Michigan State that falls into the category of best kept secrets, and it shouldn't be that way, because we've over the years built sort of quietly, steadily a program in women's health, particularly on the research side, that really literally is second to none, and we talk about so many other things, but but often don't capture that. So thank you for that reminder. So we've got all this activity in downtown Detroit, which is just spectacular. We've got robust activity in Greater Lansing. You mentioned Grand Rapids, where we've now got three buildings on the Medical Mile on Michigan Street in downtown, adjacent to the Van Andel Institute and the hospital systems in Grand Rapids. But we've also got so much going on in Flint, and it would be fun to touch on that activity, because I think it also speaks so much to our strategic planning principles. So tell us about the explosion of MSU's activity in Flint. Of course, we've had activity in Flint for well over 50 years. We train medical students in Flint. Dr. Mona, one of our beloved faculty members, who was front and center in handling the Flint water crisis and protecting the children of the Flint community, is an MSU faculty member there. But in recent years, under your leadership, we've developed a really extraordinary public health program. And so perhaps you could share a little bit about what's happened there and how, in partnership with the Flint community, and I think that's also a really important aspect. It's not just MSU coming in. It's MSU coming in, collaborating, partnering with the community to make that community, to improve the lives of people in the community. So tell us a little bit about what's going on in Flint.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Bill. And, what's happening in Flint is so emblematic of how MSU works with communities. And as you suggest, think about extension. One of the ways we're really effective as a university is we are in every county and we're trusted because in difficult times, we're there listening, learning, and helping. And Flint is a wonderful example of working with the community in what is referred to as an asset-based community participatory research program, where as we listened to the people of Flint, they helped us know the ways that MSU could be useful to them. And what then came forward from this was the Mott Foundation, who's incredibly committed to the community of Flint, said that they would help MSU, College of Human Medicine, then recruit the very type of investigators that could work with and learn from the people of Flint to go directly at challenges. And some of the individuals that, I think two really well-recognized individuals here at Michigan State University are Jennifer Johnson and Mona Hanna Atisha. And their presence in Flint when the water crisis occurred, when there was lead in the water, it was Mona Hanna Atisha who was there as an educator and a researcher and a clinician, that she was the one who paid attention, listened, and brought focus to what was happening. And then it was from there that these other members came together with first the creation of a division of public health, now a department of public health that is led by Jennifer Johnson. And the Mott Foundation has come alongside to create both the funding and the location so that we could recruit the best public health researchers in the country. It's now the leading place for MSU to do National Institute of Health funded research. And there's some programs that are national exemplars, if you will, for improving health. So one example is this idea of, prescriptions for food. So when the children of Flint go to see their pediatricians, one of the challenges was how do they have access to the food they need? And so a program was instituted there that gave them prescriptions for food, and then they could go downstairs into the farmer's market
There's another program that Mona has put in place called RX Kids. And this program recognizes that it's the period right before a mom gives birth and after that is often the time of greatest poverty or struggle. And Mona was able to secure funding that now provides money to those mothers in the period before they give birth and the period after they give birth. And it's just a fantastic example. Jennifer Johnson has worked to put in place looking at the disparate outcomes for moms giving birth to children. And she was able to get a program, a $15 million program that now works with moms using her area of focus, implementation science, to help those moms have healthy babies and to have a healthy pregnancy. So to summarize, what has come to bear in Flint is probably the best example in the nation of a university learning from and with a community to then address the major health challenges within that community.
And the Mott Foundation commitment led to MSU's first philanthropically named department, the Charles Stewart Mott Department of Public Health in Flint. Just thought I'd add that, Bill.
Thank you. Brilliantly said. We are so fortunate to have the support of the Mott Foundation. Thank you.
Yes, and Flint RX Kids is where you can learn more about Mona's program.
Yes, it's it really is extraordinary, and one of my great mentors always referred to MSU as an assist leader, and I think that we don't necessarily have to go into a community and be the shining star, but if we can assist that community in pulling themselves up and working with them to meet the needs of their community, then everybody wins. And
Bill, the other addition is that is also where we have our urban track for training our medical students. And it attracts the best students in the state and the country who want to be involved with addressing health disparities. And by them going through a certificate program that is based in Flint, again, it inspires them to work in communities where they can do more good. So it's just this beautiful alignment of clinical care education research and creating the providers for the next generation that will make it better for all.
Well, Norm, as I think about the objectives of the sustainable health pillar of our strategic plan, objective two is partner with communities and organizations to reduce health disparities, something we're doing around the state. Objective four, lead nationally in devising innovative educational pathways to careers in health, supplementing existing health and pre-medical majors. And we're doing that in so many ways, particularly with our PA program, nurse practitioners, our medical doctors. And working with health and business partners across Michigan to ensure patients and families have access to equitable, high-quality, affordable, and safe health care. And that's happening as well throughout the state in the so many programs that have either been created or massively improved through your leadership as our Executive Vice President for Health Sciences. So, you know, whether you're in Flint or Grand Rapids or Detroit or Escanaba or Marquette, you're touched by Michigan State University Health Sciences and the wonderful work that is led by our guest today, Dr. Norm Beauchamp. And Norm, as we wrap up this session, I would be remiss to not note that this is probably our last podcast with you, as you're accepting a really special opportunity to take on a role at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. And those of us on campus have very bittersweet feelings about this, as we'll miss you terribly. But you'll have an opportunity to go on and serve as part of the world's largest Catholic faith-based healthcare organization, which I know is very meaningful to you, And to do that work in the nation's capital, where so much health policy is created, and you'll be front and center in those circles. And so as an MSU alum, we're so proud of you and the work that you've done here, and will continue to do, not only for the people of the state of Michigan, but the people of the East Coast and really around our country. So thank you for that. We will miss you, but we're just thrilled that that a Spartan is making the world a better place.
Hear, hear, Bill.
Thank you, guys. Well, one of the main strategies here has been to surround myself by people who have the core values of service, and what we've been able to build is something that will continue to accelerate because they're focused on this very commitment to health, hope, and healing. And I've been very blessed to have the chance to serve here for 8 years at an amazing place with people like you, Bill, like you, Russ, and what Spartans do, right, is they try to figure out how they can have the most scalable impact in the world. And my commitment is to take the things I've learned here and then work in our nation's capital with another amazing core values institution to see, can we address healthcare nationally and globally with the nation's capital, a platform to do exactly that on PACE. And as you mentioned, my faith is an important guide for me, and to join a faith-based institution, again, I feel really fortunate to be able to do that.
Well, thank you, Norm, for joining us today. Thank you for a career of extraordinary work to make our community so much better. And stay in touch and come home to East Lansing often. And we will look forward to hearing about the great success that you have that you have in Washington.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Bill. And, I should share some thanks. One, there is a gentleman, Jim Pochin, who was my undergraduate mentor, who was my philosophy teacher. And he asked if I wanted to see what he did when he wasn't teaching philosophy. And he was the Department of Radiology chair. And he changed my life. And then my mother, same. I promised her one day I would come back to the state and contribute. So there's been people here, professors that were formative, and again, the chance to come back and deliver on a commitment to contribute to this great university and our state has just been a joy. So thank you, and thanks for your kind words. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for leading the strategic plan. I'll be watching, and when we get to 2030, I know that we're going to go racing across the finish line, having accomplished all of the goals that you, the president, the institution has set, and then some.
You will get an invitation to the party.
Yeah, all right.
Amen. Well, Bill, you always like to say a Spartan is someone who makes their corner of the world a better place. Norm is doing that, spilling way over his corners and just doing a Spartan's will, as Norm Beauchamp.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And that is Dr. Norman J. Beauchamp, Jr., the executive sponsor of the Sustainable Health theme in the MSU 2030 Strategic Plan. And there's much more online at strategicplan.msu.edu. And Norm was talking with Bill Beekman, our Vice President for Strategic Initiatives. And I'm Russ White. This is MSU Today.